Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it. So, very exciting joining us on today's podcast for a Friday Q&A. One of our favourite humans. She's already been on the podcast before, so it's an absolute honour to get her back on. I just called her a novelist. No. Second time author. Her new book is out, The Science of Nutrition. She's also pregnant with her second. She's just told us she's not sure how she's going to cope with a toddler and a newborn. And I said, you haven't got a choice. It's Rhiannon Lambert. Yay.
Thanks so much for coming on again. I think when we last chatted to you, you was pregnant. And we haven't really caught up since then. So how has it been?
Wow, a lot's happened, hasn't it, in that space of time? Because I gave birth in April 2020, which was like the worst time I think I could have picked to have a baby, actually, looking back. A lot's happened. I've had my little boy, he's now 19 months old, and I'm pregnant again, and I've got the book. The book was the hardest thing though, girls. I underestimated writing a book when you've got a baby. And it was lockdown, so I didn't really have any childcare. It was crazy. It was like nap times. Thank goodness he napped quite well. I was quite lucky with the naps because that really helped. But yeah, I'm here.
When you're trying to do something like that, and you've got a newborn, you're kind of always in like a tumble dryer. You're just like, what am I doing here? I don't know what I'm doing here. And what am I doing here? And oh no, I've actually got to engage my brain. I don't know how you did it. I mean, we definitely didn't do anything difficult as writing a book in the first 6 months of our babies for babies.
I'd pat myself on the back if I'd like actually loaded the dishwasher.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it, by the way. It's not something that looking back, I would have chosen to do. I think it was a weird time, you know, when the book kind of came to fruition. I'd always wanted to do this like encyclopedia of nutrition. I'd always wanted to do something that was moving away from me just holding a bowl of salad, you know, that kind of stereotypical nutritionist look. I wanted it to be accessible for all ages and cover all topics. So I couldn't really turn it down, but equally you didn't know where the work was coming in the pandemic.
Yeah.
It was such a strange time. It's like everything just stopped. And I was freaking out a bit. I was like, I've got a baby here. I've got to make a living. And this is an opportunity to do something. But yeah, it was, I wouldn't recommend doing it, but it was hard.
tell us a little bit about the book, because it's out already. So just tell us, you know, I guess the science behind it.
Yeah, it's about debunking the myths and the fads and just, I think, real educational topics. So it spans from everything. There's a whole section I think your listeners will love on pregnancy, nutrition, going through to weaning, childhood, the psychology of postnatal, all that sort of stuff. And we cover even topics like, should we be eating meat? Should we be eating fish? What about alcohol? What about sugar? Fasting, a whole section on gut health, on weight, you know, body fat management, and all the misconceptions around what you should do to lose weight, keep it off, what psychology, restriction cycles, eating disorders. It really is, I would call it, an encyclopedia of nutrition in an easy way. There's great diagrams, it's really broken down, and it's all evidence-based.
Do you know what? That sounds so interesting. I know. I went away last week with Heart Breakfast on tour a couple of weeks ago, and I had a bit of a naughty breakfast, and one of the guys on the shoot was like, oh, healthy breakfast for you this morning. And I was like, no. I was like, there's about 15 teaspoons of sugar in this. I knew what I was eating, but it was really interesting that that person didn't understand the science behind the sugar in the crunchy nut cornflakes. So I feel like this is maybe a book that everybody needs to read.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Like every generation. And it's even, you know, what about our brain health just as much as sugar? You know, what about how to stop us? I've got skin and aging. I've got pages on the menopause, on what to eat when you're on your period, your menstrual cycle. It covers so much more. And like you said, I think there's such a misconception. Food is so emotive. I think everyone's got this emotional connection to it. And the guy that said that to you, A, is highly inappropriate. B, probably just saw the portion size of the cereal. I don't think that's okay. I don't think he should be commenting on what you're eating, but that's just what I do for a living. So I'm like, just don't do it. But he probably saw a small bowl of cereal with a banana and thought, oh, that's healthy. But yeah, like you said, he didn't know what that was made up of. So. Yeah.
But lots of people don't. And that's why there's that whole thing about eating cereals for breakfast. That's why, everyone's in uproar about the government saying, a bowl of cereal, it's like, it's really not the best thing that we can be choosing for breakfast. But I do love it. Let's get into this because we've thrown out our followers have basically sent in tons of questions as we knew they would. So let's just see if we can get through them. First one, my child has a milk and soya allergy. Is the Alpro 1 to 3 years oat milk a good substitute for him?
Absolutely. Because obviously there's no soy and there's no lactose in there. They often come hand in hand. People that are allergic or can't tolerate lactose in milk often have a soy as well. So it's quite connected. People don't realize. Yeah, it's quite common. But check always. Alpro are pretty good. They fortify everything. So they add the vitamins and minerals that you would normally get in milk. And you would normally get in soy, because soy is actually quite a good source of protein. So the only thing I would say about oat milk is that it is lacking the protein, but it will have the other vitamins and minerals. So maybe when you're using oat milk in your dishes for your little one, just add some protein elsewhere. Maybe add some nut butter if they're not allergic to nuts. I hope you don't have that triple whammy because that's really tough. Yeah. And try and add something else to the food at the same time that's going to keep that up throughout the day.
Fab. So this is from Stacey. Tips for gestational diabetes and keeping up a good diet after birth.
Gestational diabetes is an area that you really need to be monitored. So if you've been told this by your doctor, I would definitely make sure that you're getting those regular checkups with your GP, because they'll be taking your blood and they'll be checking your levels and your blood sugar levels, essentially. And it can go after birth as well. It can take some time. And in fact, some women that have never had diabetes before, they get diagnosed with gestational diabetes and it's quite a shock to them. It's not quite an area I work on all the time, but it's something that needs a health professional monitoring. So don't just not go back to your GP. Please tell your midwife, make sure that you're constantly monitored for your blood sugar levels. And I suggest the dietary advice is to make sure that things are combined. So always have your carbohydrates with some fats and protein. So if you've got a slice of toast, try and put some even cheese on it, because I know it's got protein and it's got fat in it, which will slow the release of the sugar in the carbs into your bloodstream. So cheese on toast, actually.
Oh, who doesn't love cheese on toast?
Oh my God.
I love a bit of Marmite with a cheese on toast.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Or beans. Beans on toast.
I've actually never had cheese and beans on toast. I was thinking about this the other day. I've never actually had it. So I'm going to have it this week. And I bought M&S were doing these little cheese and bean on toast, like party bites. And I've got them in my fridge and I can't wait. I'll let you know what I think.
You're just such a sucker for walking around the supermarket and seeing a gimmick and going, oh, party bites.
Oh,
bite.
I am. I'm a marketeer's dream.
This is from Sophie. Mum to picky toddler and work 40 hours a week. Easy ideas to stop McDonald's drive-through Thursdays.
Oh gosh, that's so hard. And you're working so hard. I think every working mum can relate that you are just knackered and you really want an easy life. But there's no easy answer around this, but it's up to you to go to that drive-through in a way. And if that's a habit you want to curb, it's making it more neutral. So this is, I think, a discussion that a lot of parents will struggle with on sugar, as well as things like McDonald's and takeaways. It's we build it up to be a bad thing. Therefore, in a child's eyes, it becomes like, get it now. I want it now. That's kind of the mentality behind it. And we need to use the word neutral. We need to neutralize the discussions around it. So if your toddler... I don't know how old your toddler is. I'm assuming your toddler will be perhaps obviously older than my son, probably speaking and a few words here and there, like I want or can I have, that type of discussion and constant, please, mum, please, mum, please, mum, in the back of the car.
You don't say please. Please? What?
Hilarious. I think if you're in that situation, it's so stressful, isn't it? And you just have to start using language like we can have it another day. Or we can have it next week, and it will suck and it will be really hard. But that's the way of breaking the chain. And have something else with you on the car if they're hungry when you do pick up, if you can, even if it's just a banana, even if it's just like an oat cake or something that you've got in the car down the side, whatever your toddler likes. If it's a Baby Bell, a bit of cheese, just make sure they have a snack on the way home in the car, and then it gives you a bit of time just to prep the dinner when you get back. But it's hard. Do you know what? I do have a great other option that my son loves. Like, if your child loves chicken nuggets or something, I make salmon nuggets for my son, and he loves them, and it's so easy. Yeah, freeze them in the freezer, and then you've always got something. You can make your own, like, chips at home, like potato wedges, and get out some nuggets, and you can make it like a fun McDonald's-esque type of meal at home.
Yeah. Oh, that's, I really like that.
No extra salt and all the other stuff that goes into those nuggets. You don't even know what the chicken is, to be honest. So yeah.
So this is quite a big topic, I guess, for you to answer. Top three supplements you can recommend for adults, but I guess just in general.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think, okay, vitamin D is a no-brainer because that's government law guidance that everyone takes it. So you girls should be taking it now from September all the way around to April. That will support your immune system, help keep your bones healthy, all that sort of thing. And we know we don't get enough sunlight because the sunlight hits your skin, and then the absorption and the production, the synthesis of making vitamin D happens in the skin. And we just don't get it in the winter. We don't really go outside. We're covered up head to toe. And then when it's sunny, we put sunscreen on because we're protecting our skin, which is the right thing to do. So vitamin D would be number one. Folic acid, I guess, would be if you, obviously you're pregnant, trying to conceive. That's a really important vitamin. That would be one of my top ones to prevent neural tube defects for your baby and help with growth and development.
Do you need folic acid if you're not pregnant or trying to conceive? No, you don't. Okay, fine.
I mean, you need folate from your diet. So folic acid is the synthetic form of folate, the stuff you get in the supplements. But that's the thing you really need when you're pregnant, because there's only research on that supplement, not the natural form itself, when it comes to preventing these neural tube defects. But for everyone else, you'll probably be getting just enough folate from even bread now. Bread's fortified. So most people in the UK are probably getting their quantities from fortified foods.
Yeah.
And then what would my other one be? Probably if you're a plant-based eater, like a multi, like a vegan multi or something that gives you B12, iodine, calcium. If you don't eat oily fish, you need an omega-3 supplement.
Which is that what I take
as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've got a good tip. If you go to Amazon and you get one of those pill pots, the ones that have got the days on. So that's what I've got, Monday to Sunday. And then I am literally rattling around with the amount of supplements I take. I mean, look, I don't know if they're doing anything, but I'm like a fish oils girl, collagen. You know, I have my sachets of collagen, I'll take my vitamin C, vitamin D, like, and it just helps me every single morning. I know that it's there. So it's the first thing I do when I wake up, is just open Monday, neck the 6 pills, the next one, you know, it's all there. So you're not faffing around opening pill pots and being like, oh, what have I taken? What haven't I taken? It's, and they don't cost very much. They're like $6.99 or something.
That's a good tip. Helps you remember to take what you need.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
How much should I eat in my third trimester? Ooh. It's a really interesting question.
Yeah, and they've specified the third trimester. So I think this person may have already done some reading, but you can have up to 200 calories more in the third trimester. But that's only really like a banana and some nuts or something. It's not like a Kit Kat. You know, 204, whatever it is on the pack. Everyone seems to know that number with a Kit Kat. It's funny that, isn't it? It's a Kit Kat extra in your third trimester. I would advise trying to opt for something a bit more nourishing.
Yeah,
but if a Kit Kat is what you want.
I'm in a Kit Kat.
enjoy the energy you'll get from your Kit Kat. It's such a misconception eating for two, isn't it? First trimester, you don't. Second, you don't really. Third, you want that extra energy. That's where the most growth, suddenly, you know, like the growth of the tummy, like just expands massively in the third trimester. You're doing a huge amount of growing for your baby. So you just need that little bit extra.
A little bit more. 9 months postpartum, I've been eating healthily and walking more than ever, but weight not shifting. Is intermittent fasting a fad or good approach for sustainably losing weight?
So this would be in the book, The Science of Nutrition. I delve into all of this because intermittent fasting isn't going to be for everybody. It's a way of just reducing calorie intake. There's no other real miracle behind it. But for some people, it can trigger binge eating. It can trigger disordered eating cycles. But for others, it's a really easy way of managing body fat loss. I would say that diet is more effective than exercise when you're looking at body fat loss. So consistency is going to be so important. So I, you know, and you're only 9 months postpartum. I mean, there's a saying, isn't there? It takes 9 months to grow a baby. And then once, I can't remember what it is. There's something about 9 months in, 9 months out. There's a saying around that. And everybody will reach that, you know, state at their own time and their own pace. It can take some women a year. It can take a bit more. So be patient with yourself, your hormones. I don't know if you're breastfeeding or you're not breastfeeding. There's different fluctuations there that can also impact body fat loss as well. So there's a hell of a lot. Are you getting your period back? Have you got that back yet? You know, that could also be causing water retention. Are you measuring your body fat on the scales? Or are you measuring it via your clothes? Yeah. How you, there's so many factors, but I would say diet consistency, fasting, have a read in the book because we delve into the science and it may be right for you, but ultimately it's just skipping a meal.
You're dead on when you talk about the diet being consistent with the exercise. If you're exercising, you know, you're doing 3 or 4 times a week, but your diet is all over the place and you're binge eating chocolate and crisps and all the rest of it, you're not going to shift it, are you? For a while you're kind of going through the motions going, I don't understand it. And that has to be really, you know, have a cheat day and have a few treats here and there, but that consistency with your food intake and eating the right things has got to be completely on.
Abs are made in the kitchen.
You can't outrun a bad diet. They're all those sayings, aren't they?
Yeah. Best quick breakfast, in your opinion?
Quick is being the ultimate word here. Now, see, I'm a nutritionist. So I'm probably a bit biased here. I think quick is bunging a bowl of oats in the microwave for 2 minutes and that's a porridge.
That is quick.
Yeah. That is quick, right? I think that's quick, but it does involve some cooking because you're adding whatever topping you want. So I would normally get my bowl of oats, pour some oats in the bowl. I don't bother measuring it anymore. I kind of know visually what my portion size is. Chuck some berries in or half a banana. Mix it up with some milk or water, whatever you want to make your porridge with. Bung it in for 2 minutes. Then I add a topping of yogurt, stir it in, and then I add a drizzle of honey, some nuts. And that's quick for me.
Yeah, that is quick.
These are quite good as well. So I make one of these every single morning. This is a smoothie, which I put my collagen in, but this has got all the greens. So avocado, blueberries, kiwi, spinach, and then I put some berries in it. And then I put some protein in it and I just blast it up with some water. And then I drink one of these and that sort of keeps me going till I have my eggs a bit later on. But they're quite, because then as well, you're not under pressure to eat all of your greens for the rest of the day because I've literally rammed them all in this.
Yeah, you get it done in the morning. And if you utilize your freezer as well, you can just pick handfuls of frozen spinach, whatever you've got. I need to get back into smoothies now. I'm really bad in the winter and it's such a good way of getting nutrients in early in the morning. I also add oats to my smoothie if you want it to be a bit more fibrous and that can help with bowel movements. So yeah, get creative. That can be quick, really quick.
Bowel movement, that's so interesting because that being too descriptive, if I have one of these, if I'm really, really regular with my smoothie drinking, I'm really regular in other areas, which is great.
Yeah, you have to eat. This is the misconception with dieting, I think. Yeah, but I love this kind of talk. If we're not putting stuff in, we're not pushing anything out. Yeah. The more you push out, the healthier you will be and the happier you will be. And our gut loves all that variety. Our gut bacteria will consume that. It will give off all these lovely short-chain fatty acids, things that we love that make us happy.
Are you interested in people's stools? Like, is that, you know, like Gillian McKeith went all bananas about everyone's pooing. There's a poo in a Tupperware. And they're like, oh, your ones look like pellets, therefore you're dehydrated or whatever it was. Or you've got the perfect log. Like, is that something that you would ask your clients if they came to you?
So it's so interesting. I wouldn't go by what Gillian McKeith said. She just was not qualified whatsoever, but she was on to something she's not got any qualifications to be looking at anybody's diet, but that's a different story, that's not for me to discuss here. But I'm sure she meant well. There's the Bristol stool chart, which is something that our clinicians in the Retrition Clinic use all the time. And again, it's mentioned in the Science of Nutrition. There's a whole section on gut health for you guys. And you ideally want your poo to be kind of smooth and not too like bumpy or rigid or coming out in little plops, you know, that float in the toilet. And this may sound really crude, but it's so important you look at your poo and have a look at something called the Bristol stool chart. Get the book and just have a look, because it means you need to just drink more water or you just need to eat more fiber. And it's interesting. So we've got studies in other countries that people that have a heavier poo, like a better bulk and smoother poos, will live longer. And it's always fascinating. Wow. Yeah. And their mental health will be better just based on the fact that their stools are better. But it does link back to what's living in our guts. So 2 kilos of what we weigh is bacteria, all of it. And it sits at the colon, like the bottom end of the digestive tract. And it will consume what's left over, the fiber, the bulk of your diet. Because everything else gets pulled out when it goes down the intestines and it gets absorbed into the bloodstream. You get to the bottom, you've got all that fibrous stuff left over, which comes out in the poo. Bacteria will eat what they can, send messages back up to your brain, which make you happy. It's honestly something that we don't eat enough of in the UK. And that's why, because of all these diets, we eat refined carbohydrates that don't contain enough fiber. We just do not get enough fruit, veg, pulses, beans and things into our diets in this country.
Oh,
wow.
I do actually feel happier, don't you, George? You know, when you go to the loo and you're like, yes, that was like a winning poo. And you come out and you're like, I feel amazing.
Yeah, you feel clean, don't you? Yeah. You feel like, whoa, I'm ready for the day.
I love this. I've never had such enthusiastic poo talk.
Do you know what? In my family, I'm actually not involved in this because it actually does gross me out. But people are so obsessed with poo in my family that they save them for each other, especially like my cousins.
Oh, fucking hell.
Seriously,
George.
They do. It's so weird. It's so weird. So I am used to poo chat. I'm used to poo chat.
You
I
always take it one step over, don't you?
He had an operation once and my cousins were coming to stay and they must have been like 19 and 21 at the time or something. And he, because he'd had so much like, you know, like pain relief and all that kind of stuff, he didn't poo for like a week or maybe longer. And they were there when he eventually did poo and they were so happy that they were there for that moment. They were so happy.
Brilliant.
I'm so glad it came. I can't imagine the pain after a week.
Oh,
yeah,
Jesus.
I know. Should we do one more? Right. So nursery do crap food. How to approach without making mealtimes a thing for her. It's a brilliant nursery on everything else, but always sending home with sweets. Today, the Christmas party was the final straw for me. Why does the party have equal to zero nutrition? What's more damaging for me, for her, me making her odd by sending packed lunch or letting her consume processed sauces, no veg, etc.?
Right. Ooh. Okay. I'm sure every parent, I can see your faces as well, can relate to this type of conversation, because I've got it all to come. My son starts nursery in February. And do you remember I mentioned the word neutral earlier, placing an important, you've got two approaches here that you as a parent can choose to follow. And then there's a kind of in between. The first one is that you just neutralize all foods. You're like, you just don't make a big deal of it. That's one approach. But that's about relationships of food. It's not about their dental health. We know that a quarter of kids in the UK have tooth decay under the age of 5, which is shocking. We know they shouldn't be having sugar under the age of 2. And even under the age again of 5, 7, 12, it should be so small and they're getting way too much. So there's that angle. Then there's the fact the nursery in the first place, in my opinion, shouldn't be providing these sugary desserts and things like they do every single day. But I appreciate for some people, that's the only bit of food like that they'll ever get when they go to nursery. They won't ever get things at home. And it depends. There's all these different conversations to be had around this topic. Ultimately, I think my advice would to be let your child just let go on the Christmas party day. But if it's happening every day of the week, then do the lunch boxes and just explain, just say, oh, we'll look forward to that another time. And you're not damaging your child's health by providing an alternative food and something else. Are they at the age where they know that all their friends at nursery are having this chocolate? And maybe you can message the nursery, because I would definitely contact the nursery and just say, look, I don't want my child to be having this every single day, but I'm happy for them to come home with something on a Friday, or, you know, pick a day of the week which is going to make it an enjoyable experience. But that goes against the intuitive eating principles of just neutralizing and just letting go of all of it. But I kind of sit on the fence here where I can see both sides completely.
Yeah.
And I think it's the parent's decision for the child's health. I mean, personally, I would find it hard to do the intuitive eating approach with sugar at such a young age. My son's not even two. I don't want him coming home every day with loads of sweets and chocolate. So, but that's my opinion, and you've got to do what works for your parenting approach.
Brilliant. Rhiannon, thank you so much. There were hundreds of questions and it's really frustrating. So we're going to book you back in before you push out number two, please.
Yes, please.
And thank you so much for coming back on. Always lovely to catch up with you, and such great advice and tips there. Thank you.
I've loved it. Thanks for having me.
Of course, she really knows her stuff, doesn't she?
Rhiannon Lambert is one of my favourite people. Every time I come off chatting to her, because we kind of say we're friends with her now, I always feel better about life. Like, she kind of breaks it down. She talks our language. She doesn't overcomplicate things, you know. And this new book, I mean,
I know, The brilliant. Science of Nutrition. Yeah. I'm actually really looking forward to reading that.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, things like intermittent fasting, all that kind of stuff, they're all things that we know about. And it's just good to, I guess, know the science behind these things and whether they actually work and if they would work for you. And I mean, she properly knows her stuff. She's, you know, she is a nutritionist. She runs a clinic. Yeah. Like, she knows.
She knows it. And also, favourite conversation. Well, I mean, it's early 2022 now, but favourite conversation really about poos. I love the fact that we've spent so long discussing discussing poos.
Yeah. Oh my god. No, please don't anyone start sending us like poo pictures.
Yeah, not that intimate, right? No, we're not. We should do some products, because we actually got given some. I feel like more of an adult since some of my Christmas presents arrived, and I'm going to kick us off because I've obviously been really into doing my smoothies for a really long time, but I got given the Ninja 2-in-1 blender, and it's just been amazing to make green juices, and I've been able to puree stuff. Like, obviously I can't get any fruit and vegetables into kit, but I make him smoothies with this, and he drinks them. Little does he know all the goodness inside of them.
All the stuff that's in there, if only he knew. Don't let him see you making it. He might go off with them. Yeah. You know, actually, it's interesting that you mention Ninja, because they seem to be everywhere at the moment, and particularly with the air fryer. I've heard so much stuff about it from friends, you know, particularly like for making like chips and stuff that would be typically deep fried. You can do in this air fryer, and it's obviously much easier and not as messy.
But also
so much healthier. So if you're in the market for something like that, then definitely check out the Ninja air fryer.
Yeah, and I'm going to say a product now, and you're probably going to go, "What? Who is this person that's on the podcast? Can you send Zoe back?" But since we've got an amazing new babysitter that started working for us. Her name's Tara, and she's super involved with the kids, and she's been doing loads of baking. So I kind of took her lead. But she sent me a message before Christmas, and she was like, "Why do we not have any scales in the house?" I'm like, "Because I keep my high-heeled shoes in that cupboard." So you'll be pleased to hear, got the Salter electronic digital kitchen scale.
Got some scales.
The Salter one's really easy to use. It's obviously electronic. It looks really nice in the kitchen, and it's just been really easy. I've actually been making, biscuits and various things like that, and they've actually been tasting quite nice.
Who is this new Zoe that we're going into 2022 with? I mean, I hope she doesn't stick around that long. No, I'm joking. And just to finish up, it's quite an obvious product, but something that I would take to a desert island with me if I had to, a mini chopper. You know, like when you're, you know, chopping onions, chopping garlic, anything like that, you just literally put it in this tiny little chopper and blitz it up and it's done. It's just an easy and quick way to get loads more like veg and also make your sauces smoother. And they're like £20 on Amazon. They're really, really, really great.
Amazing. Love that. Look at us. We'll be getting our cookbook in no time, George.
Wow.
As always, we would love you to rate, review, subscribe and give the podcast a little follow. And if you can continue, please, let's start 2022 in the right way, sending us your photographs of where you're listening to the podcast. We love seeing them.
Yeah, please do. And if you want to leave us a review, we would really, really appreciate it. We love reading them and they are great for a confidence boost. but if you want to send us any feedback, you know, people you'd like to hear from this year, topics you'd like us to cover, then just drop us a DM. We're on @MadeByMamas, and we'll be back on Tuesday.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com. It's time you did something for the